Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
Dairy Queen has something called the Cheese Quake Blizzard. It's a pound of ice cream with chunks of cheesecake in it. We've now reached the point in this country where cheesecake is merely an ingredient. Give me the cheesecake shaker. You don't have enough cheesecake on your ice cream. Oh, and what's this new thing they have in the frozen food section? It's a big red tub of chocolate. It's like 2 pounds of chocolate. It's frozen solid. It's rock hard. You're supposed to take the tub of chocolate home. You peel the plastic off. You stick the whole tub in the microwave. You heat the chocolate up so you can dip your food in it. Was this a problem for people before? Hey, you know, these ribs are good. There's just not enough chocolate on it. We have a chain in California called Carl's Jr. I think it's Hardee's in other parts of the country. They have something called the Monster Thick Burger Philadelphia Cheesesteak Sandwich. It's a half a pound hamburger with a Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich in the same bun. It's 1,280 calories. It's served with a Coke, large fries, and a headstone. It comes with a headstone. They actually bury you in the box you just ate it out of.
Comedian Jay Leno from the doing a bit from the Tonight Show when Jimmy Fallon had him on last year. 7:37, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Coming up, maybe you actually should Google your symptoms, because chances are you'll probably diagnose yourself correctly. We'll explain. Also, the most popular Disney World rides for adults. And four foods that zap your energy. It is Wednesday, the 7th of April of 2021. We're Jeff and Jen, and here it is, your news that didn't make the news. We think probably should have on Cincinnati's Q102. One thing, I'm surprised Tim didn't even know, today is National Beer Day.
I remember when you read the list at the beginning of the month of, here's all the stuff that's happening in April. It's this and it's that. And I remember you saying Beer Day was coming up, and I just forgot. I celebrated last night.
Yeah, with some lasagna and beer.
I made lasagna, and I had a couple beers. We sat outside. It was just a beautiful, quiet evening.
I'm ready for that.
It was beautiful last night.
It's hard to, like, not open a beer just when you're outside. It feels like such a thing that you should be doing when it's so beautiful out. Like, just to crack one and just say, let's do it.
Was way too quick for these two beers.
Are you guys
people that enjoy a nice cold beer on a super hot day?
Yep. Yeah, and the beer's got to be cold, though, really cold.
Out of the draft?
Yeah.
Or you want to, like...
I'm more of a draft guy, but at home, obviously, I'm not. So I had two cans of Vlad from Fretboard and Blue Ash.
Oh, nice. I also enjoy the cooler beer. Like, if you are going to give me a beer, I would prefer it out of a cooler of ice over a refrigerator every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. New survey asked beer drinkers just how much beer they drink a week. And even though the most common answer is just a few, there are some people who are really going for it. 65% of beer drinkers have between 1 and 4 beers a week. But 4%, a smaller percentage, but 4% nevertheless drink between 16 and 20 beers a week. That comes out to about 2 or 3 per day. The survey also found beer is the most popular drink people order at bars.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
You know, 2 Bud Lights, 2 Michelob Ultras, mm-hmm. 2 whatever, 1 whatever.
You figure that would be the easiest money a bartender would make is just the beers they got to crack open. The survey also found beer, or people believe beer drinkers are more approachable than people who drink any other type of booze. I don't know if it's true, but that's the perception.
It's also easier to buy someone else a beer. Like, when you're going to hit on someone, you can see, like, if they have a cocktail, you're like, oh, I don't know what that is. But if they've got a beer, you can walk right on up with a Coors Light or whatever and go, hey, I got this for you.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a scene from Behind Her Eyes, which is a limited series on Netflix. That's the one that stars Bono's daughter, who's this great actress. She's kind of the central character in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But two other characters bump into each other, literally bump into each other at a bar. The woman bumps into the guy and spills the scotch all over himself, and she feels so guilty. She insists on buying him another drink. He's like, don't worry about it. She's like, no, I insist. He's like, really? It's okay. She's like, no, I insist. I'm buying you another drink. What are you drinking? And he goes, a Macallan, which is kind of an expensive scotch.
He's like, you can't afford it.
I mean, he wasn't like that. He wasn't trying to be a jerk, but he was trying to be like, I don't want you to.
I don't want you to spend $70 on my 2 ounce pour.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. What else do we have here this morning? 55% of Americans think of eating as a form of therapy.
Yeah.
Duh.
I do. You know what? And it's such a trigger, too. Like, yesterday I got some news, and immediately I was like, I need a piece of candy or I need something to make me feel better.
Really?
And I recognized it. Like, I recognized it and made myself go outside, and I took a bike ride for like 4 minutes because I was like, I'm not kidding you. Like, immediately. And I think it's because years ago when I would receive like stressing news, yeah, I would smoke. I would just like have to have a cigarette.
Right.
And now I think I have graduated from that to having to have some kind of food fix immediately.
Yeah.
So if I don't leave the kitchen or wherever I am that has a snack, I will eat something when I'm feeling emotional.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And but I recognize it.
That's really great, though, that you recognize it and you're able to divert it. You know, yeah, there will be times where you probably give in and that's okay. But the, yeah, fact that you're aware of it and that you're
way aware,
that in tune with, yeah, yourself, the self-awareness is really great.
Thank you.
63% of Americans say that sitting down for a meal gives them a much needed mental break. I mean, sure, of course. Why wouldn't it, you know?
And we do it
three times a day. We need it.
You use it to socially catch up with, you know, your partner or maybe some friends or family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's like a double whammy.
We do family dinner almost every single night. And I'm talking like I will cook something, Scott will grill something, and we sit at the table, the three of us, every single night.
Look forward to it every night.
I do.
Especially now the weather's gotten warmer and we're, you know, sitting down at an outdoor table. It's a time to talk, kind of unwind, connect. Over a third of us have at least one night a week that is dedicated to a certain food, like you guys do Taco Tuesdays.
Yep, we do.
More than half of us have planned out a special meal several days in advance because we were stressed and needed something to look forward to. So I'm going to tell you that Kristen is known for her sage-rubbed baby-back ribs.
Oh, yeah.
And a good friend of ours had surgery, and as a kind gesture, she brought over a couple of racks of those sage-rubbed baby-back ribs.
Mm.
And it kind of became, she became kind of famous in the neighborhood for it. Then every now and then, you know, for people who are special to us, that we know really well, you know, that is her love language.
I'm already not feeling well.
She will do something like that, right. And someone just recently had shoulder surgery and she just did it again and word got out. And all of a sudden now we're on this group text and people are starting to feel a little peaked.
They're like, I have a cough. Maybe you could drop off some food.
Yeah, it is one of those things we look forward to.
Like sage rub. So she makes her own rub and puts sage in it. Is that kind of how it works?
I don't know the details.
You don't need to know.
I don't ask questions.
I just eat.
I learned a long time ago, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
That's right.
And she always makes enough for both of us, so we always have some left over. And it was glorious.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Well, you know. Just Kristen, you know, we would love to maybe.
Kristen, we love to sample
out,
stuff
know,
on this
putting
show.
Putting that out there, you know.
It's so good.
But you're known for it.
There were some leftovers, and she said, you're taking that into work. I'm like, I would, but it's so messy. Like,
what
it would take
the
me
hell,
forever.
Jeff?
Well, there wasn't enough
seriously.
For everybody. There wasn't enough for
we
everybody.
We could have had a rib. It would have been fine.
A rib would have been okay?
Yeah. Cool. I want to try the sage thing.
And how have I known her for 17 years and have never been a part of the rib action? Kristen.
It makes the place.
Let's make it happen,
smell
sister.
Smell amazing.
Oh,
I bet. And listen, the last time you were down, you didn't have any sense of taste or smell.
I know,
so that would have been
like,
a waste.
Right.
Here are the top things your beer would say if it could talk. Let's see. Which one of these uglies am I gonna make you wake up next to in the morning? Put the mug away and drink me out of the can, you pompous jerk. Who in this bar should we arm wrestle tonight? You'll never understand how offensive 99 bottles of beer on the wall is to my people. What am I doing tonight? trying to dissolve a urinal cake. And finally, I look forward to seeing you hugging your toilet again in a few hours. And that was the top things your beer would say if it could talk.
Happy National Beer Day, guys.
Thank you.
All right, 7:50. Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. We got second date update coming up in just a few minutes. Google has turned us all into amateur doctors. Some of us more than others. And maybe also professional hypochondriacs. Which is why we always thought it was a bad idea for people to try to diagnose themselves. But we have news on that front. According to the latest study out of Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, it's actually not such a bad thing for people to Google their own symptoms, because we do a pretty good job on the diagnosis. And that means we usually find out that we're not dealing with the worst case scenario. Like, you probably have a cold, not bronchial super cancer or something. Right. And it helps us with our anxiety. Of course, it can go the other way.
Sure. I think it's too a little informative. You're just doing a little research about maybe how your body works, and that's probably not a bad thing.
Probably not a bad thing.
I also think it's helpful when people do the range. Like, I either have this or I have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So chances are I'm more like this, you know, down towards this, you know, realm where it's not as bad.
Yeah, and so much of it depends on whether or not it's the type of person you are. If you know you tend to be a worst case scenario type of person, then maybe avoid running to Google every time you have a sniffle.
Yeah, don't hop on there.
But if you're looking for something that'll maybe diffuse the concern until you can actually get in and see a real doctor, then it might not be a bad idea.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.